Welcome to this Hungry Planet podcast. I'm Cleo Darcy.
And I'm Darren Eastburn. In each podcast, we will review a major concept or issue, we'll clarify a possible point of confusion, and we'll provide questions for review. The major concept for this week is nematodes. Just what are nematodes and how do they differ from other plant pathogens?
First, nematodes are animals, just like you and me. Although not so very much like you and me. All animals are eukaryotic, with genetic material contained within the nuclei of our cells, and all animals are multicellular. Remember that plants and most fungi are also eukaryotic and multicellular, while bacteria are prokaryotic and unicellular. Nematodes are also like us in that they are capable of locomotion, swimming with snake-like movements for very short distances through water in the soil. Finally, nematodes are like us in that they feed by consuming other organisms. Most nematodes feed on other small forms of life, such as bacteria, and on organic matter. A few nematodes feed on or parasitize animals, causing diseases such as heartworm in dogs and trichinosis in humans. And about 10% of all known nematodes parasitize plants. All of the plant-infecting nematodes are obligate parasites, meaning that they must have a living plant host in order to survive.
But after these basic similarities, nematodes are quite different animals from human beings. Nematodes are non-segmented roundworms, most of them so slender that they are typically invisible to the naked eye. Most of the plant pathogenic nematodes are between 300 and 1,000 micrometers long. That's less than 4/100 of an inch. In some species, more rounded females are produced, which can be seen without the aid of a microscope.
All plant pathogenic nematodes feed on their hosts with a stylet, a sharp, pointed feeding structure that resembles a needle. They use their stylets to penetrate plant tissues, to secrete enzymes into the plant, and to ingest the contents of the plant cells.
Some plant pathogenic nematodes spend their entire life outside of the host plants, just inserting their stylets to feed. These nematodes are called ectoparasites. Most ectoparasites are migratory, moving from cell to cell as they feed. Other species of plant pathogenic nematodes are endoparasites, which enter plants to feed from the inside. These nematodes may be either migratory, moving through the plant tissue as they feed, or sedentary, inducing the formation of specialized feeding cells from which they feed until they die.
Of course, before they die, nematodes need to reproduce. Plant pathogenic nematodes can reproduce sexually, asexually, or sometimes in both of these ways. Their asexual reproduction process is called parthenogenesis, a process in which fertile eggs are produced without mating. Their sexual reproduction process requires that the eggs produced by a female be fertilized by sperm produced by a male. Regardless of how the eggs were produced, nematodes develop into first-stage juveniles, or J1 nematodes, inside the eggs. These juveniles then shed their cuticle, or molt, three more times to produce the next three juvenile stages called J2, J3, and J4. Lastly, the J4 juveniles molt into adults, the sexually mature males and females. A single female can produce hundreds of eggs to begin this simple cycle again.
This week's point of confusion is the terms genetic diversity and monoculture. An area in which only one plant species is grown in close proximity, with few to no other types of plants present, is called a monoculture. Many monocultures are created by people, such as bountiful cornfields or fall flower beds full of chrysanthemums. We grow the corn in a monoculture because it's easier to plant and harvest. We grow the chrysanthemums in a monoculture because they look beautiful.
Plants within different monoculture systems can vary greatly in their level of genetic diversity. For example, the potatoes grown by the Irish in the 1840s were not only all Solanum tuberosum, they were all the same cultivar, Lumper. Since the Lumper potatoes were propagated asexually, they were probably all nearly genetically identical. In this situation, the potato monoculture had a very low level of genetic diversity, and when late blight struck, all of the potato plants were in jeopardy.
In contrast, apple orchards are monocultures of the species Malus domestica. But in many apple orchards, growers plant several different apple cultivars. You might see Red Delicious, Empire, Granny Smith, and Gala apple trees all growing in the same orchard. this apple monoculture has a higher level of genetic diversity than the Irish potato fields. And if a particular disease problem arises, it is unlikely to kill all of the apple trees present. For example, Granny Smith apple trees are very susceptible to fire blight, while Red Delicious apple trees are quite resistant and will survive an epidemic of this bacterial disease.
If you can answer the following questions, congratulations! You have mastered some new terms and some important ideas in plant pathology.
How are nematodes like and unlike other groups of plant pathogens that we have studied?
What are some characteristics of all plant pathogenic nematodes? And what are some characteristics that can be used to divide them into subgroups?
How can a plant monoculture have a high level of genetic diversity?
What are some dangers associated with growing a monoculture with a low level of genetic diversity? We're Darcy
and Eastburn
for Hungry Planet.